You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com. Your lipstick stains
on the front lobe of my left. Welcome back to Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Brahaney. I'm sitting in today, Reverend Dr. Wayne Kent. I always got to see if I got my titles right. But Reverend comes before doctor. And Wayne will be back tomorrow, won't he, Nick?
That's right.
And you're going to be happy when Brian's back, so you don't have to put up with all these different obscure personalities.
That is right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fine. However, everybody, the show is left in capable hands.
I thought you were going to say, however, I will be happy when he's back.
No.
All right, so Michael Hicks, I feel like Mike, good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
I feel like you've been here for a long time. In Decatur, but you really haven't. Just April 1st, right?
April 1st. So, yeah, not even a year yet.
It's not even a year yet. Oh, you just fit in so well. Mike came from Harvey, Illinois. I thought you were in South Chicago before Illinois.
Harvey is the location of Ingalls Hospital that is now part of UChicago Medicine, the University of Chicago Medicine.
And that's where you were.
And so I was, yes, I was there for a very long time, and we were part of the last several years that I was there, they were part of the University of Chicago. So I split my time between there, a lot of time in Harvey, but we also had an ambulatory network throughout the south suburbs of Chicago, and I spent a lot of time in Hyde Park.
It's 20 years with the University of Chicago?
Well, 20 years with that organization that was all part of the University of Chicago. So that's all 20 years, all wrapped up in that. Started with Ingalls that ultimately became part of the University of Chicago.
And you got your MBA from Northwestern?
I did.
Wow, you're a smart guy.
Well, I had some opportunities along the way, and I was grateful for those. It was a great school, so that was a great period of time in my life.
All right, so the hospital system up in Chicago is pretty broad, pretty encompassing, and you know, a lot of times you hear people go to Chicago for the big surgeries, our Cleveland Clinic, Northwestern is one of them. So now you're down in the, I guess it's called the rural market. Would that be fair?
This is more a mid. That's fair, I guess. It's kind of a mid market. You know, it's very different than there are some aspects to rural medicine here that we have to contend with. But it's really kind of a mid sized market. You know, when you get there are some very rural areas where physicians are truly on their own without a lot of other specialties. I served for a long time on a committee with a physician who was a family practice physician in a very rural area. And a family practitioner there performed appendectomies and tonsillectomies and delivered babies. And if he did that, and you know, we used to laugh that if he did that in Cook County in Chicago, his malpractice insurance would be $3 million a year.
Oh,
you know, he encompassed so many different specialties that are considered high-risk specialties in a large city. So that's different. We don't have that here. We have a lot of that was one of the nice things I learned about this area is when I came down here was the quality of the medical practitioners in this part of the state.
And you know why that is? I've been told.
Okay. Tell me.
Because they can make a lot of money down here.
I think
you attract a lot of really good doctors in mid-sized markets because it's not saturated.
That's true. I think that if you're a high-quality physician, that word spreads very quickly in an area like this. This is very much a word of mouth and a reputation, area in mid-sized markets. That's pretty typical. And if you are a high-quality practitioner, and that's, I think, who ultimately remains here. So you see these physicians who have been here for a long time, and they've been very successful. It's because, you're right, their reputation grows, and your practice can grow very quickly in an area like this, even though it's not as big, it's not as populous as Chicago.
Right. And I think you're finding out with your lovely wife, Mary Beth, that living in Decatur is much better than you probably thought it was going to be.
We were, when we came down, we did some, you know, we did our homework before we, agreed that I would take this job and we would move here. And so we were pleasantly surprised when we did our investigation. But to be honest with you, it just keeps, really, it's kind of gotten better after we got down here and got to meet people and realize what a committed community this is. I've said that since the day I walked in. It just, people are really involved and care about their community. And you get to know people here, and it's different. So you, in one sense, I feel like it's a good thing. I feel like you always have to be on your best behavior, and put your best foot forward, which was it's true in when you're a leader in any healthcare system. You know, your colleagues are always watching, but boy, it's you feel like I feel like all the time that I'm running into people that I know and neighbors that we're treating and taking care of. So you know, feel a great sense of responsibility to do the absolute best you can because these are people you know and care about.
Yeah, while it's not a huge city, it's got some world-class companies here. When you look at ADM, you look at Caterpillar, you look at Tate & Lyle, Mueller. I mean, there's a lot of high-caliber industry in this town that hospitals would be appealing to hospitals to serve.
Oh, absolutely. There's large workforces. I mean, this is a pretty densely populated area, relatively speaking, this part of the state and Decatur, the greater Decatur area. And, you talked about those world-class companies. So there are definitely world-class companies. And then some of the kind of smaller and mid-sized companies. I was at the Civic Center for the Business Expo soon after I arrived in town. And I was surprised at the level of sophistication of the businesses. I was really impressed. It was really enjoy kind of studying business cases and understanding what people's where they saw the value in what they could provide when they start a business or when they try to grow a business or acquire businesses. And, it's an MBA, it's kind of a product of getting an MBA. And so when I got to talk to these business leaders here at the Business Expo, I was impressed. I mean, there's some pretty sophisticated models, business models that are operating here very successfully. There's some people who have done very well in this part of the state.
And you get to know them pretty well. It's not so
I know. They're very down to earth. Different.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the whole HSHS system, not just St. Mary's. But we're going to take a little break for the weather and some commercials. More with Mike Hicks right after this.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today is going to be cloudy with a high near 36. And tonight we've got likely some snow mixed with freezing rain and sleet. Shouldn't produce too much ice, but a low of around 29. For Thursday, snow is likely before noon, and then rain and snow is likely later. It'll be cloudy with a high of 36. And for Friday, almost identical. Rain and snow likely, cloudy with a high of 36. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is still at 24 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:52.
Join Milliken University on Tuesday, January 28th for the 2020 James W. Moore Lecture, Unwanted Spy, The Persecution of an American Whistleblower, featuring Milliken alum Jeffrey Sterling. Sterling, author, lawyer, and former CIA analyst, will discuss his fight for justice in the face of racial discrimination, federal espionage charges, and more than 2 years of imprisonment. Hear how Sterling's whistleblowing on the Iran Task Force ties into today's global affairs on January 28th in Milliken's Kuiper Hall. The event is free and open to the public.
Whether you're just starting out, tired of renting, or purchasing your dream home, Busey's award-winning mortgage team will find the financing that's right for you. With a simplified home buying experience, Busey will be there for you every step of the way. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of our many convenient locations for solutions to your banking and wealth management needs. Busey, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Happy 2020 from the Eric Lee Show, and we got some good news. Not only is the decade not actually over, but neither is the school year, and the Corley Family Dental Teacher of the Month contest continues. Each month, you nominate your favorite teachers, coaches, and administrators in Macon County. It could be grade school, high school, even Richland and Milliken. The Eric Lee Show will randomly draw 5 finalists to honor each month. And the final week of the month, you vote to determine a winner. The Corley Family Dental Teacher of the Month. Visit NowDecatur.com now to nominate your faves.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Hello, welcome back to Byers & Company. We're talking to the CEO of St. Mary's Hospital, HSHS St. Mary's. And hey, Mike, we're talking about the size of this community, but when you start talking about sizes of systems, it gets to be important. So while Decatur may not be Chicago or St. Louis, it's part of a bigger system, a 15-hospital system, which is HS Health System, and it's a hospital sister's health system that have been around, they go back to, 1875.
It's 175 years this year that they founded HSHS in America.
Yeah, and Springfield is the mother house. That's where the sisters operate out of. But it's more than just the sisters these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. The sisters have been, that's a group that you can just take your hat off to, because they have been very smart and very thoughtful in the way they've planned for the future, because they envision a time the numbers of sisters are in their order in the United States are dwindling, and they envision a time when they won't be around to make sure that things are going the way they intended when they started this mission. So they've worked on that transition, and they've been very very smart about how to do it. And so they've set up systems in place, and they work a lot on what they call mission formation. And you know, when I walked in, this is my first time I'd worked in a Catholic healthcare system, and they did a great job of explaining what they were trying to do, because we, you know, our workforce and our physician, our medical staff represents all faiths, all traditions, you know, in terms of who works for HSHS.
I think so, like 14,000 people.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit shy of the actual. That's pretty close, though. Yeah, I mean, it's a large system with many, many employees. And then when you include all the medicals, you know, the independent medical staff, that number goes up, you know, dramatically. And they said that it's not about, in their mind, it's not about conversion, which was, you know, interesting, because people are always wondering what it's like in Catholic healthcare, but it's about connection. They want people to be connected to that mission. And that's something that people from all traditions can embrace, this idea of taking care of the entire community. And when you treat somebody, you don't treat their disease, you treat the human being that's in front of you. That's a big, you know, for being this late in my career, it was kind of a nice reminder, a nice back to basics that, hey, you're talking about a human being that not only has whatever disease they're grappling with or procedure they have to have in the moment, they're bringing everything with them. They're bringing all their problems and their worries and their tensions, and you have to address the whole thing in order for them to successfully complete their treatment and get out of it what they need to. And that's something that this system focuses on. My hat's off to them. They've done a good job, and they're very committed to helping us become part of that mission, because they know it's the workforce that's going to continue that mission into the future.
And they don't want you to look at it just as a job. They want you to look at it as a ministry as well.
Absolutely. In fact, that's they don't call it the local hospitals. They call them local ministries. That was quite an adjustment for, you know, I've been in healthcare for, you know, over 25 years, and to come in and then think of it as a ministry actually, I found it was very much in keeping with my own personal values, and that's part of what was appealing about it. But to be able to do it so openly, as part of, you know, as part of leadership, has been really refreshing. I've really enjoyed it.
I find it to also be pretty much the values of your employees. And when they want a leader, then when they see a new leader come in, they want a leader that believes in that ministry, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. You can tell they want to see, you have to prove it to them that you're going to walk the talk, that you believe what you're saying. And, you know, they've been very quick and very generous in terms of their acceptance of me, and the communication, I think, is really important. It's been really open and honest, and they're very direct. I always tell people when we get in meetings that half the important things in the hospital get done in the hallway, because those hallway conversations are so great. They'll stop and they'll tell me something, and it'll be something really important and very insightful.
Well, you know, that's a pretty interesting way to view things. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about healthcare in general. It's Mike Hicks. We'll be back with more Buyers & Company right after this.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shyler with your stories now. The University of Illinois Extension in Macon County will soon offer state-mandated certified food protection manager courses and tests. The Illinois Department of Public Health requires all food establishments to be supervised by a certified food protection manager during the hours of operation. The two-day course will be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. March 23rd and 25th at the Macon County Extension office. Course topics will include foodborne illnesses, safe food handling, cooking and storage, employee health and hygiene, facility safety and maintenance, cleaning and sanitation. For more information and to register for the course, go to nowdecatur.com. Sloan's Calzones is partnering with Macon County CASA to help raise some extra funds for local foster kids. For today only, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., 15% of profits made from all dine-in and carry-out will go towards CASA. So whether you are eating lunch or sharing a family dinner, eat at Sloan's and help give back to kids in need. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
They'll start making the case against President Trump today. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. House impeachment managers get 24 hours over the next 3 days to argue President Trump abused his power and obstructed Congress.
Who has ever heard of a trial with no witnesses?
Hakeem Jeffries is one of those seven Democrat managers and calls it
the cover-up.
They also got into it with the president's legal team. And at about 1 o'clock this morning, as they sniped, Chief Justice John Roberts stepped in, telling them
to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body.
Our Republican senators voted down the Democratic leader's attempts to call witnesses and subpoena documents. Senator John Kennedy told Fox and Friends,
if we had granted Senator Schumer's motions, I figure it would have delayed the trial at least until March, maybe April.
Now, they will consider calling witnesses later in the trial. President Trump had a lot to say this morning from Switzerland.
They had no case. It's all a hoax.
Fox's John Decker live at the White House.
President Trump at the World Economic Forum following the impeachment trial from thousands of miles away and praising his lead attorney, White House counsel Pat Cipollone.
I was very impressed with Pat. He had great emotion yesterday. Pat's a brilliant guy, but I've never seen that emotion, and that's real emotion. That's because he knows this is a hoax.
The president said he'd be opposed to John Bolton, his former national security advisor, testifying because of what he called national security reasons. Dave?
John, the World Health Organization meets today to discuss the coronavirus outbreak, now blamed for 9 deaths in China. More than 400 other people got sick. It's also spread to several other countries, including the U.S. A man's being quarantined in Washington State. After a trip to China, he is said to be in good condition. One of the comedians in the Monty Python Flying Circus has died.
Why aren't women allowed to go to stonings, Mum?
It's written, that's why!
Terry Jones was in and directed movies like The Life of Brian. He was 77. America's listening to Fox News.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Now, President Trump is now flying back to the U.S. Before he left Davos, he also said the economic boom in the U.S. was what everyone was talking about.
I'm honest. I make great deals. I've made great deals for our country.
Now, it's not just opening statements day at the Senate for the president's impeachment trial. The case against Harvey Weinstein starts today in New York City.
The jury of 7 men and 5 women are set to hear opening statements in the sex crimes trial of Harvey Weinstein. Yesterday, his lawyer said the statement would include excerpts from emails between Weinstein and his accusers, and say those show they were too friendly to be assailant and victim. Despite more than one attempt to get the trial moved out of New York City, a panel of appeals judges has declined to. Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to raping one woman in 2013 and sexually assaulting another in 2006. If convicted, he could get life in prison. In New York City, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
The ex-Hollywood producer is also facing charges in Los Angeles. 2 more baseball players are going to be Hall of Famers.
It seemed guaranteed, but New York Yankees legend Derek Jeter was still honored to be selected into Cooperstown in his first year of eligibility for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I never looked at it that way because this is something that's very difficult. You're talking about 1% of players that have ever played this game getting to the Hall of Fame, so it's very humbling.
Jeter there with MLB Network earning 396 of 397 possible votes from eligible baseball writers, just one shy of unanimous selection. He's joined in the the 2020 class to Cooperstown by Larry Walker, the former Colorado Rockies outfielder making it on his 10th and final year of eligibility on the modern era ballot. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
On Wall Street, there might be a rebound ahead of the opening bell. Dow futures are higher by about 70. NASDAQ futures are gaining 57. This after yesterday's Dow dropping 152 points. And the NASDAQ also sold off. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Central Illinois HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah, Mr. Employee of the Month, angry face, snoozy face.
I've noticed you're using a lot of emojis and reports lately.
Sure have. Smiley face, cat with hard eyes, thumbs up.
Dave, they're just really hard to understand.
What do you mean, confused face? Thinky face?
First, I don't think you're supposed to say them out loud like you do.
That's what you think the other Daves love it, right, guys?
Thumbs up!
Smiley face!
Goes with tongue out!
See?
Okay, look, what does this report even mean? It's just a bunch of pizza emojis.
Oh, we went out for pizza. That's an expense report.
Oh, that's why the last page is all dollar signs.
See? You get it.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the huge online job boards. That's probably what you'll get. But if you want more employees of the month, go where local job seekers find good local jobs. Central Illinois HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We don't discriminate against people named Dave. Dave is a common name, fun to say, and so we're using it as a catch-all for lackluster employees everywhere. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today is going to be cloudy with a high of 36, and tonight snow is likely, maybe mixed with freezing rain and sleet, low of about 29. Thursday, snow is likely before noon, and then rain and snow is likely later. It'll be cloudy with a high of 36. And Friday is virtually the same. Rain and snow likely, cloudy with a high of 36. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 24 degrees, and your WSOY time is 8:06. Good morning and welcome to Byers & Company. Guest host Kevin Brahaney fills in for the vacationing Brian Byers. He continues his conversation with Mike Hicks, the HSHS St. Mary's CEO. We'll check in with Andrew Chiligaris later and more Byers & Company after this.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Byers & Company, and thank you for joining us. I hope you've been around all morning. It's been a lot of fun. You could have heard Nick and I disagree on impeachment and all kinds of stuff. So, Nick, what do you know about the hospital systems in town? Are you into the hospital scene, or are you just pretty much focused on education?
Well, I'll tell you this much, Kevin. I have very intimate knowledge of St. Mary's. It all started for me in St. Mary's. So my very first...
You were born there,
yeah,
huh?
My very first few memories. It's been a lifetime of St. Mary's for me.
How'd it go? Was the birth okay?
We'll see. It's still in progress.
I think clearly. You can just point
so far, so good.
It's still in the works. I will say this. I've had a few opportunities to talk with Mr. Hicks on both the Eric Lee Show and Byers & Company. A lot of the common themes that come up are, individually for him, is acclimation to the community and being an important part, not only for him and his family, but also the hospital. We've talked openly about the healthcare indicator with the two major hospitals and Crossing and a lot of these other facilities, really improve pushing the bar. It's almost like an arms race, if you will, to provide the better care. We've talked about some of the things that, you talked about going to Chicago for a specialized surgery. That's one thing. Specialized surgery, we don't need to be able to necessarily have that sort of thing here. But stuff that doesn't, where you don't need to drive 40 minutes or two and a half hours to go, identifying those and beefing that up here, at St. Mary's. Whether it be at the hospital itself or by the various outposts that are throughout the community, it seems to me, and again, I don't mean to also be giving the competition its props during your segment, but it seems to me like our citizens have a better chance of getting better healthcare indicator, that our citizens have a better chance of being healthy, which gives them a better chance of being employable and having children, raising children properly. And so for me, I've been watching this, and I've been on the other end of it when it sucks, being in a waiting room for a long, long time, you know, for an emergency room, to where the you're almost better off driving across town, you know, or and I'm not saying that's specific to St. Mary's. That's not what I'm saying. Or being at a, you know, an express clinic and being in that scenario where you're like, well, this isn't that express. I'll go over here. Or I'd be better off literally driving to another city instead of sitting here and letting whatever is ailing me, you know, carry the day. So I've noticed the improvements. I've noticed the concentration and, you know, the facilities and the growth. And I'm very excited by it. And the open the transparency of the direction that Mr. Hicks has shared on the air, it kind of tells me here's sort of the roadmap of what we're trying to do. And that includes things like evaluating equipment. And there's a tipping point where a machine, yes, it can still do the job, but investing X amount of dollars will take you to that whole next plateau, and trying to identify that tipping point of where to spend the money and what to do with it. It just gives me a lot of optimism and a lot of hope. I don't know if that was your question, but that's what I've been paying attention to. And
no, I think it's fair. And I think I've always said about St. Mary's and St. John's being brother sister hospitals that you don't have to, most of the time, you don't have to go anywhere else between those two hospitals. You've got all the specialized medicine that you need. And I got to believe now that Decatur Memorial is better than it was with aligning themselves with Springfield Memorial because of the same reason. I mean, there's only so many dollars and resources that you can put in to facilities. And when you can use one to be good at this one, another to be good at that one, and you're only 30 miles away, isn't that an advantage for the patient?
Absolutely. This is, you know, that's one of the nice things about Decatur in terms of its the ability to serve this market. Is that we have, well, for us at HSHS, and that's true of Memorial, but, you know, from our perspective, we're focusing on St. John's. And St. John's is a level one trauma center. It's a, you know, broad, very broad capabilities. You very rarely have to go beyond Springfield. You know, in terms of, you know, a community hospital, we want to broaden our services to a certain degree. We want to decide those things that we think. And this is not a static question, by the way. We want to decide on those things that we think are important to be able to deliver locally. The people should be able to get them in their hometown. When you have a hospital with the capabilities of St. Mary's, there are certain things that we should be able to do and be able to do very well. And so we're in the process constantly of evaluating and defining that list. And if we need to bring something in, like you mentioned that plateau of technology, we recently jumped to the latest division or the latest version of the Da Vinci surgical robot, the XI, and that was a huge lift for us in terms of technology and capability. It attracted and cemented our relationship with surgeons in the community, helped us recruit new surgeons in to Decatur. From a general surgery point of view, from an OBGYN point of view, you know, gynecological surgery, we have some very talented practitioners who are now using state-of-the-art equipment. And well, there was nothing wrong. The other robot functioned, although the company did, in terms of planned obsolescence, they did plan to sunset at some point, you know, support for that piece of equipment. So at some point, the manufacturers kind of force you into adoption. But this was the right time for us, and we really saw a serious clinical advancement and really the promise of what that technology had been about since its inception in terms of we're starting to see some quicker recovery times, shorter length of stays, things that really benefit, really matter. If you have come in and you have a surgery and you get back to your life with a lot less pain and you can return to your normal activities and feel better more quickly and get out of the hospital, that's a real tangible benefit, right? So we're seeing that. So that was a good tipping point for us. And you're right, it's very expensive you can't be the provider of everything. So we have to balance that in conjunction with St. John's. And it's not a bad trip for something that you would need. You know, those really critical healthcare episodes happen. Gratefully, they happen infrequently in most people's lives, and so to just have to travel to Springfield in order to get that is not a bad thing at all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, another big thing that I've seen as a change in healthcare nationwide, but really right here in Decatur, is that when I came to town, and for the longest time, all the physicians seemed to be independent. Anymore, they're more and more and more of them are aligning themselves with hospitals. You all just aligned. The Vita
now Benify.
Yeah, Benify. Explain that they changed the name, or you changed the name.
We changed the name. That was an interesting transition because, for a Catholic healthcare system to acquire an OBGYN practice, you have to be there. There's certain religious directives, and so that all had to be negotiated and navigated very carefully. And we do that in conjunction with local religious leadership. So we did that with with the oversight of the bishop and that office. So the decision was that a new name, a fresh start, fresh name to indicate that the approach that from this point forward, it will be under the Catholic directives as to how we're going to provide that, at least under the HSHS umbrella, those services.
Now, the healthcare industry is complicated.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've seen it up close and personal, and it makes what I do for a living look really easy because of would it be fair to say that 50% of your revenue comes from the government between Medicare, Medicaid?
I think that's true of most communities.
Obamacare.
Absolutely. That's true of most community hospitals. I think it's probably north of that if you count state employees and things like that that come through that are municipal employees. That's ultimately a government program. So, absolutely.
So, when it gets to be that big of a customer, the government, the federal government, they can pretty much dictate on how much they're willing to pay you. Would that be
fair? Well, certainly with Medicare. Medicare sets their rates. They do allow for input, and they but Medicare, the way the industry works is that Medicare is a reasonable payer, but it's not the same as private insurance companies, and that's been kind of the financial model in healthcare, especially as it relates to hospitals, has been strange for a long time because of the government involvement. When you set rates as opposed to letting natural market forces kind of let the rates fall where they will, it changes things. It changes the dynamic.
Are we in a strange zone right now with regards to that? Because if 50% or more of your revenue is coming from government, that's one paying model. The other paying model would be private insurance companies, mm-hmm. which say, well, look, if the government can get at this, the rates are low. We want it that low. And then you get the workers' compensation.
They usually start with Medicare as a basis for their reimbursement. So that's you're kind of net, and everybody kind of knows that there's that's handled gratefully by the managed care department that negotiates all those rates. So I don't have to spend a whole lot of time thinking about it, just understanding.
Yeah, but then you got to run the hospital based on those rates.
Absolutely.
And I'm told that it's more competitive than people think it is. I mean,
the healthcare industry.
Yeah, I mean, you're beat down pretty hard as a hospital.
Well, it's interesting because you're not only obviously there are natural competitors to hospitals with other hospitals, but there's also competitors in most of the service lines that we operate. So you see freestanding locations that offer physical therapy. There's small and large laboratories like Quest Diagnostics that compete with us for laboratory work. They're freestanding imaging centers. There are freestanding ambulatory surgery centers. So all those things exist in healthcare that compete with hospitals. And typically, hospitals, we have, especially community, not-for-profit community hospitals, there's an agreement that, we're a tax-free entity in terms of, at least for a large portion of what we do. We're a tax-free entity. And so in return for that, we operate in a certain way, especially in our emergency departments, where we will medically evaluate, treat people, and we won't, there's all those rules around how you have to behave as a not-for-profit entity when people walk into your emergency room. But other freestanding entities that are focused on one specific aspect of the business, they don't play by those rules. So they're looking for the paying customer. So typically they're picking off the most profitable part of the business, and then so we have to compete for that and then also take care of the broader community. That's just the challenge when you walk into a hospital.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts.
Absolutely.
You got to be smart to run a hospital.
Well, the good news is you usually have a pretty big team, and you have subject matter experts, and together it's a complicated maze, but it's also a great challenge, and the rewards. I think it's a privilege to work in healthcare because at the end of the day, you get to do something that hopefully matters. And benefits people, right?
Matters more important than just about anything.
So yeah, you handle people. Your customers come to you typically at their most vulnerable times, and that's
that's a responsibility, and it's a privilege to be a part of it. So I've never regretted getting into healthcare.
Now I'm going to ask you some tough questions, not about the healthcare, not about HSHS, but about the system in general, about will we go to single payer and things like that. When we come back, but first let's hear about the weather with Nick.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today is going to be cloudy with a high near 36. And tonight, snow is likely. It's possibly mixed with freezing rain and sleet a little later. It'll be a low around 29. Little or no ice is expected to accumulate, though. For Thursday, snow is likely before noon, and then maybe some rain or snow later. It'll be cloudy with a high of 36. And for Friday, rain and snow is likely again, cloudy also with a high of 36. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is up a degree to 25, and your WSOY time is 8:20.
For the 10th year, the best high school football players in the NowDecatur.com coverage area will converge under one roof and be honored for another fantastic season and another incredible Real Men Were Peak campaign with HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. Will it be another night to shine for state runner-up Central A&M? Will a couple Bulldogs, Trojans, Braves, Generals, or more butt in to swipe away a few of the Maverick marketing trophies? Entry is completely free for everyone, and all are invited this Sunday. Doors open at 5:30 with the banquet rolling around 6 at LSA High School on East Mound.
Enough is enough. It's estimated that only one in every five cases of adult abuse is reported. The Adult Protective Services Program is changing that statistic by connecting victims to services available through local community agencies like CHELP. Reporting adult abuse gives victims the opportunity to receive the help they need to stop the abuse and can reduce their risk of future abuse. If you suspect abuse of the elderly or adults with disabilities in Macon County, report it by calling CHELP or the Adult Protective Services Hotline at 1-866-800-1409.
Join Milliken University on Tuesday, January 28th for the 2020 James W. Moore Lecture, Unwanted Spy, The Persecution of an American Whistleblower, featuring Milliken alum Jeffrey Sterling. Sterling, author, lawyer, and former CIA analyst, will discuss his fight for justice in the face of racial discrimination, federal espionage charges, and more than 2 years of imprisonment. Hear how Sterling's whistleblowing on the Iran task force ties into today's global affairs on January 28th in Milliken's Kuiper Hall. The event is free and open to the public.
From your home or on the road, take Busey with you. With convenient online and mobile banking services, manage your finances anytime, anywhere. Download the Busey mobile app to view balances, transfer funds, pay bills, and more. Now with mobile chat, get your banking questions answered from your device whenever you want, wherever you are. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of our many convenient locations for solutions to your financial needs. Busey, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Welcome back to Byers & Company. Nick, did he answer your question? He answered my question.
He answers almost all the questions, yeah.
That's pretty good. He didn't avoid them, does he?
No, that's what I guess my whole diatribe was about. He pretty much puts it out there. So this now hopefully it's all true and accurate, but it's all out there.
Well, time will tell, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
If you're just joining us, that he we're talking about is Mike Hicks. He is the CEO of HSHS St. Mary's here in town, part of a big system that has 15 hospitals. But let's just talk about healthcare in general, the United States healthcare system, Mike.
Okay.
Can you put that?
That's an easy topic to cover in a few minutes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's all we got, too. If you could change one thing in the healthcare system in this country, what would that be?
Access. Making sure that everybody had access. Now, how you do that kind of remains to be seen. I mean, that
from an affordability point of view or from a location point of view?
I think access is a complicated question. I think it encompasses both. And actually, truth be told, I think that by and large, the most vulnerable of the populations can kind of walk into an emergency room and get connected. It's that group. It's kind of the people that are struggling to get to that next economic rung. There are certain economic rungs that kind of get left out. So you're in terms of the healthcare equation and you know, kind of being classified different things, the working poor, the lower middle class, you know, just different. You don't want to be pejorative about it because there are people that are, it's pretty noble that they're putting out all this effort. And those are the ones that you know, one bad healthcare incident can wipe them out financially.
And right.
So that's a tough thing. So trying to figure out how we can bridge that gap without turning the whole healthcare system upside down. I'm open to it. I'm open to all answers, but to be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of the idea of single payer. You talked about the fact that government is already a huge part of it, and I think they always will be a really large payer for healthcare. But I think that market forces have shown to prove to be more efficient. But I'm not sure how you do that. It's just healthcare is a complicated situation. If I had the answers for that, I think I'd be working in a different capacity. We're trying to manage those. What happens to the market and manage them as best we can as they affect HSHS and they affect, for me, they affect Decatur and St. Mary's.
Would it be fair to say that the United States healthcare system is as good as it is from a quality point of view because the market's still part of it versus it being a single payer and it's homogenized?
I think that if you have benefits or you know how to navigate the healthcare system in the United States, I think it's the finest healthcare system in the world. There's a lot of studies and I've seen a lot of people debunk those studies, and I give them a lot of credibility that show that, hey, this some other country might be superior. A lot of times they're very small countries that kind of equate to maybe one of our states. Some of our states are bigger than a lot of these countries, and a lot of the population is kind of a homogeneous population, so they face a lot of the same healthcare issues.
That'd be
a lot
like easier, like Germany.
Germany's pretty big. There are a lot of people in Germany. I think of like Sweden and things like that, where they do smaller countries that where they get. Germany, yeah, I guess Germany would be kind of in that equation too, but where they can do things a certain way and they get really great buy-in and so they have some good results. But they also measure them differently than we do. For instance, in terms of infant mortality, we try to say in the United States, and I love this about us, is we try to save every baby that we can. And so that goes in when you the way they track statistics, when you try to save a baby, it counts in terms of your infant mortality rate. If there are conditions that you cannot treat, and so hospitals, don't do the things that we do, their data looks different. So we're not really comparing apples to apples. So the question or the statement is that I believe that the United States has got the finest healthcare system, and it's because of the market forces. It's because of and I think the whole world benefits from that. I think people develop new procedures, new techniques, new technology. I talked about the Da Vinci robot. I don't know that if the U.S. healthcare market didn't exist, I'm not sure that company would exist, and I'm not sure they would have developed that technology. And that technology benefits people around the world.
So, Nick mentioned earlier about the Crossing. Crossing's doing a terrific job for the poor who may not be getting a fair shake had the Crossing not been there.
They are doing some cutting-edge work in terms of bringing a number of services together. And you don't see that. I've not been aware of that in my healthcare career, of anybody that's brought that as comprehensive an approach to that to addiction as Crossing. And then the fact that they're a federally, at their core, they're a federally qualified healthcare center, which is specifically aimed at people that kind of fall through the cracks. That's one of the ways that we do provide access. It's just that some people don't know how to access the healthcare system, and some people don't have benefits. And as I mentioned, some people can get wiped out financially, so they're afraid to access healthcare, and then it ultimately makes it worse because they wait until things are worse. But my hat's off to Crossing and what they're doing. We work you're going to see that continue. We collaborate with Crossing, with other healthcare entities in the in Decatur, and that's when we share that burden together of the most vulnerable. I think we do a better job by coordinating care and not duplicating resources, and if we can share test results and things like that, we don't have to keep repeating and duplicating things. That's a great approach. And so hopefully we're going to see more collaboration between different entities in the Decatur market.
Do you even see that happening with Memorial?
With Decatur Memorial?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. Our community benefits, a requirement, an assessment that we're required to do as community hospitals, that talk about the things that we do that address the unmet needs within a specific community. And we're going to do that in collaboration with Decatur Memorial. So look for that in the future.
All right, Michael. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Michael Hicks.